listening to the Purple Project Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, what a turnaround from last week. The Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Back on the airwaves once again on a new week after recording this. January 20th.
Get into it, Eddie, and get into. I will say this is interesting. I saw somebody say K-State's 5 wins away from making the NCAA tournament. And I thought about that, and I was like, that's just how? How would 15 wins and being like 7 wins in conference, how would that get you in the NCAA tournament? But then you look at just how highly the Big 12 is rated in the net rankings and look at K-State's just schedule because of it. It's like, good grief. Like, I don't think that would get them in, Eddie. I really don't think you'd get in like 15 wins.
No.
7 wins in conference play. But, no. But boy, if you were legit, if you could get to like 16 wins or 17 wins and have like 8 wins in conference, be like 8-10, I legitimately think that could probably get them in the way the Big 12 is, which is just, so I don't think it's that far off, which is crazy. Look, we're not there yet, okay? Let's reel the wagons back in.
The point
is here, there's not a ton they have to do to get in because their conference is loaded. Because if you win games in the conference, you're most likely going to be beating a team that's in the top 50. I mean, that's just almost a given. Every single win's going to be a top 50 win. And that's going to strengthen that resume, you know, really, really quickly because K-State's near the bottom in the Big 12, and they're 64th in the net. So, you know, nearly every game would be a top 50 win. And it's just wild. It's just wild the way that that's kind of wired. So, we got a lot to dive into. I will say this quickly. I am retreating from one of my hot takes last week. I know one of them. I no longer think, Eddie, after this last game, that we should fire Bruce Weber right now and let Shane Southwell coach the rest of the season. The theory sounds good, but looking at what Bruce has done this last week, that was probably a little premature of me to just make that statement. So, look, I'm not saying that Bruce shouldn't be fired at the end of the year, okay? Jury is still out on that. If you don't make tournament, that doesn't do the job. But, look, you know, K-State are 10-7, 2-4 Big 12 play. They've got a couple wins over top 25 programs. They've got a win over Wichita State. They've done some nice things. So I will admit, I jumped the gun a little bit there with that comment. But I think if K-State does kind of, you know, begin to snowball again, you kind of got to reassess some things. But, you know, Tim Fitzgerald mentioned something. I thought about it. It was actually kind of a good point. You know, he said it's kind of disrespectful if someone fires someone mid-season, especially someone like Bruce Weber, who's done so much for the university. Won 2 conference championships. He's been there so long. He's generally a good dude. And I thought about that on his daily delivery when he was talking about it. And I said, you know, he's right. You know, so I heard that, and I started thinking, the Shane thing makes sense, but I don't know. You know, Fitz could be on to something there. And then when they got the win over Texas Tech, and then they go to Texas and followed up going to Texas and get a win, I really was like, that was a hot take. That was a hot take enough. But look, you know, that doesn't mean that all is well with the program either, okay? Let's not act like that for 2 games. So, like I said, you and I, we got a lot to dig into there. And in the meantime, I think K-State football landed a big transfer. They were able to get I'm blanking on his name now from Missouri, the wide receiver. Blanking on his name, wide receiver transfer who switched over to safety there at Mizzou.
They
landed him last week. I'm blanking on his name, but he looks like a good athlete. Looks like someone that K-State can throw in that secondary. They needed it. They needed somebody else in that defensive. They need another DB, in my opinion, on the roster. So the fact that they were able to go out and get one, I think that was a good get for them. We'll see whether it pans out or not, but I think that was a good get for them. You throw him with the linebacker that they've got. You throw Adrian Martinez in there. They've got 3 nice guys in the portal. So they continue to kind of fill that roster out a little bit. Now they just need to, in my opinion, Eddie, they need to see if they can snag a receiver and snag a running back. I think those would probably be the two next things they'd be targeting for them. But they're filling the roster out a little bit over there, too. So lots to dive into.
Yeah, that's for sure. Obviously, other game they used, so did it. They only came out about that. I believe that was Sean Robinson, if you were into that name. That they only did, I guess. And my thoughts are on that. So go check that out wherever you get your podcast. I won't reiterate on that. So that's what Al was talking about. So that's a huge get. And oh, by the way, K-State plays Missouri in 2022 later on this upcoming fall in the football schedule. So so there's that. Back to the Big 12, man. Let's get right on into it here. Yes. I don't mean to go back down the well too often, but I've been saying it all along. This Big 12 thing, we've been talking about the last few weeks on the show, that they're loaded. This conference has always been loaded, especially this year. Up and down the conference, obviously. KU right now finds their way in the top of the conference once again. Just focusing on the conference record, not the overall record, obviously. 4-1. And oh, by the way, that's K-State men's next opponent. And oh, by the way, the K-State women with a big win last night as recording this podcast. Beating KU last night, and a big turnout in Bramlage last night, 69-61 last night. Oh, by the way, I did a recap on that, which is coming out tomorrow morning. And then, of course, episode 83 will be later on tomorrow, early evening sometime. So you're going to get your double dose of Wildcat coverage. But, yep, K-State women finally back on the winning side after their longest losing streak of the year so far, which is two. Finally getting that win there. After KU trying to make a charge there, and K-State made some key stops there towards the end of the game. Switching back over to the men real fast. But, yeah, KU 4-1, 7th in the nation this week, being at Texas Tech. And oh, by the way, last weekend, K-State beat a regular team that was red hot, beating two ranked opponents, KU, and then knocking off, which was then the number one ranked team in the country, defending national champion Baylor. And what's safe to say that win right there for K-State, if K-State goes on a little bit of a, this continues this run here, not falls off too much, and some I think make the tournament, circle back to last weekend, their Texas Tech win, circle that one for K-State Nation. If K-State can right this ship here, that could be a game-changing season defining moment. Bruce Weber and company there for that one. Baylor 4-2, locked up with Red Raiders right now, second conference. And then honestly, got a whole bunch of teams, three wins, and a lot of teams with two wins in there. That includes K-State, Oklahoma State, Texas, both have the same record in conference play, 3-3. And then from TCU on, and this is what's frustrating. K-State should have beat TCU. They should have beat West Virginia. Could have beat OU. So you're sitting there with the group of two wins K-State is right now, with TCU, West Virginia, Oklahoma, and 15th-ranked Iowa State sitting there at two wins as well. Oklahoma, Iowa State, K-State have the identical records in conference play at 2-4. And then TCU sits there at 2-2, West Virginia at 2-3. And everybody in this conference, when you look at the overall record, is over 500 still. So that's what, top to bottom, this is really tough. But yeah, that's what's really frustrating about K-State is they could be right now on the edge of the top half of the conference play.
Yeah, they could be on top half. Oh gosh, I mean, top half of conference play, I mean, they also could just, their record in general just could be way better. You know, like we've mentioned it, you know, you look back at some of the non-con games that they had a chance to win, both of their losses to both Illinois and Arkansas, both their losses in the single digits. You know, your loss to Marquette's by one. You know, you have opportunities there, and you know that transfers over into Big 12 play, where three of your four Big 12 losses are by 3 points or less. There's a theme, and this is a theme I talked about last week on the podcast, and that is just the simple fact that K-State hadn't been closing games out, and that's exactly what they finally did against Texas Tech and Texas. They went on a run at the end of the Texas Tech game to close that game out, and then against Texas, they really weathered just caught fire in the second half and couldn't miss. And K-State was able to weather it and go on a run and then make some plays down the stretch. And they made a great play on the play that they went up one, which is a great dish there to get that to go ahead and lay up. And, you know, they finally were making some plays when they needed to, Eddie. And you're right. They should be in a better position, because you look at that schedule and you look at TCU, 2-2 in conference play, 12-3 overall. You know, you look at Oklahoma, 2-4 in conference play, 12-6 overall, and then West Virginia, 2-3, 13-4 overall. I mean, those are games you could have gotten. Frustrating. I understand K-State was undermanned. They had a tough couple weeks with COVID, being short players, short coaches. They couldn't practice. They didn't have enough bodies. I get that. I get all of that, 100%. But look, a loss is a loss. And we can sit here and say, you know, poor us. It's what happened. And that's the day and age we live in. So you got to find, it's not an excuse. You know, you got to find a way to come out and get, you know, get wins. They just weren't doing it. And I think that majority of the K-State fan base got fed up with it at the end of that TCU game, because I think most people feel like K-State's a better basketball team than TCU. And to just kind of give it to them the way that K-State just gave it to them was quite frustrating. To see them bounce back and to get a couple wins was something that was nice. Look, Eddie, if somebody's going to be dipping below 500 in Big 12 play, not Big 12 play, overall in their record, it's probably going to be K-State. it'll be either K-State or Oklahoma State. It could also be Oklahoma State. They have the same record as K-State. But look, you know, you got to give them credit. You know, you got to give K-State credit for, you know, I think it was Mark Smith who said, It didn't make us, he said, it didn't get us down. It made us mad, or something along those lines. I can't remember what he said, but he pretty much just said it didn't like suck all the energy out of the moral of the story. It just tipped him off. It just made him mad that TCU game. And like, we're capable of more than this. Like, this is ridiculous. We're better than this. Like, what are we doing? And clearly they, you know, kind of had that little bit of a kumbaya moment on what are we doing? Like, let's go. Like, let's get this going. Like, it's almost like that they needed that TCU game to light a fire under their you-know-what. And it seems like it did that. It seems like they're motivated. It seems like they feel like it's them against the world. They feel like they just weren't playing up to their potential, and they weren't playing up to their potential. You and I have talked about this, Eddie. This is a better basketball team than last year's team. Much better basketball team. This is a team, in my opinion, that should be able to compete. And K-State has been competing, but they just hadn't been getting enough wins. So kudos to them. And like I said, I mentioned last week that I saw the ingredients there for the Tech game. You know, Tech's coming off a huge win against Baylor, a huge win against KU. It was going to be their fourth game in 8 days, an early morning game in Manhattan. It just seemed like the ingredients were there for that. And so I kind of felt like if they beat TCU, maybe they could carry some of that confidence and get that game against Tech. Turns out it worked the other way around. They lost the game against TCU, just tipped them off, and then they went in and bought the game against Tech. But I think the most impressive thing, Eddie, was the fact that they followed it up by going on the road and beating Texas. I think that was what was more impressive to me than anything. I think Texas is better than Texas, but the fact that they followed it up by beating a legit top 25 team, because Texas is a top 25 team, especially when you look at the talent on their roster, I think that's what was most impressive to me. So now K-State's coming into a situation, Eddie, and I don't mean to get too far ahead here, but now they're kind of coming into a situation where you've got KU at home, and as I mentioned earlier, that game looks a lot different. You know, that game looks a lot different than what we can do.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, if K-State's able to pull an upset against KU, if they are legit back into the tournament conversation, you legit can throw them back in. Now you're talking about three top 25 wins in a row. You're talking about a top 10 win. Then they're going to Baylor after that. I mean, then you're legit throwing K-State, you know, back into that conversation of tournament if they can go in and pull the upset against KU. But I think K-State's just kind of playing with house money, Eddie. I really do. These next two games against KU and Baylor, I'm not expecting them to do anything in these games. I'm expecting wins. And, I've come to peace with that, Eddie. I've looked at their schedule, and I see K-State's moments after the Baylor game. You've got number 7 KU, number 5 Baylor. Look, not expecting anything in those games. After that, though, your next three games are at Ole Miss, Oklahoma State at home, at TCU. That three-game stretch, that's where I think that they're gonna have to win games right there, Eddie. In that three-game stretch, they're going to have to get two. They're going to have to get two of those, at least two of those, if not all three.
Best-case scenario, yeah.
Yeah, because then after that, you play Baylor and Iowa State. And then, that's tough, especially when you got to go to Ames. And the schedule is pretty difficult on out because you got West Virginia. They do have Oak State there on the road. It's hard in the back end. They're just going to have to scrape some wins. That three-game section with Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, TCU, I think that that's going to be their opportunity. And if you can get one against KU or Baylor, amazing, fantastic. And now I don't see any way in hell they go to Baylor or win. So I don't even think I can even entertain that. I think the only way I think that would happen is if they got KU at home. I think that that's a much more winnable game than going to Baylor. I know Baylor lost at home too. They lost two games at home, Texas Tech and Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I literally cannot picture a scenario where K-State goes into Waco and gets a win. Can't picture it. Cannot picture it. Maybe in Manhattan, maybe? Okay, maybe. In Waco? No. No way. But K-State always plays KU tough at home. They always play KU tough at home. You know that from back when you were at K-State. I know that from back when I was there watching them. Even when K-State's not good and KU is good, it seems like it's a good game in Manhattan. It seems like they're all close. So I do expect it to be a good game, a close game. I don't think the KU's going to go blow the doors off
K-State.
No, I don't
think so.
I could be wrong, but that's typically not the way that game goes in Manhattan. It's usually a single-digits game, a game that finishes in the single digits. And I would expect the same type of thing. So, maybe K-State can't pull an upset there, and that would be huge. That would be enormous if they could get it. But, look, they put themselves in a position where I don't think that you're feeling the pressure of, like, holy hell, like, we have got to get a win against KU. Like, no, go out and play free and easy. Like, if you lose it, it's okay. You just got two top 25 wins. You're going to have more opportunities in your schedule. You can breathe a little bit. But, man, if they were coming in that, below 500, no Big 12 wins yet, that could have been bad. That could have been bad. So it's going to be an intriguing game. Now let's see what the fans do, Eddie. We have not seen Bramblers Field once this season. And at the same time, I've never seen Bramblers not filled for a KU game. So something's going to have to give. I don't know which one, but something's going to have to give there. So, We'll see what the crowd does for that on Saturday, but looking forward to it. And like I said, this K-State basketball team, at least they're giving us something to talk about. And like I said, credit to them for what they've done these last two games.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Episode 83 of PPPW edition of the podcast. Eddie Greer in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden in San Diego, California, the Purple Project Podcast. And kind of going back to your latest point there about Baylor and Waco and how they lost two at home for Baylor this year, I can kind of make an argument there that the last time K-State played Baylor was on neutral court in KC, and they played Baylor wire to wire.
They
lose two. They are lost two games. You said that K-State
was a better Baylor team, in my opinion.
That was a better Baylor team, and K-State played very well.
I know it was later on the season, but I think K-State played really well down the stretch. Even last year, obviously, we know what happened last year, but down the stretch, they played some good basketball, including taking Baylor right down to the final minutes of the quarter or semifinals. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, it was the quarterfinal. I mean, just think, Eddie, you bring up a good point. K-State, for as crappy as they were last year, they almost beat the best team in college basketball last year. The best team in college basketball that won the national championship. They just about beat them on a neutral floor. So you're right. Anything can happen. I think it was the quarterfinals because they beat TCU. They blew the doors off of TCU the game before that. They won by like 30. They really got hot. They really got hot at the end of the season last year because they beat Oklahoma when Oklahoma was ranked in the top 10. When they were ranked like the top 10, top 15 last year, and then they went to TCU and won, and then they blew TCU out in the conference tournament, and then they just about beat Baylor the next day in the tourney. So they definitely did get hot at the right time last year. But you're right, anything can happen. And you know, K-State could. I mean, you're right, they could go to Waco and get a win. I think it's just too fresh in my mind, Eddie. K-State losing by 50 there last year. I think it's just.
Oh yeah, we talked about that last year. Yeah, we did talk about that.
They lost like 100 and. It was like 100 and.
Baylor put up 100 points against K-State.
It was over 100 points. It was like 100 to 50 or like 100 something to 50 something.
Something like that.
And then after the game, Bruce Weber's like, "Yeah, the bus broke down. And, you know, we're gonna put guys on like city buses, get a walking a mile." And I'm just like, "Gosh, good grief!" Like, yeah. So I think all of that's just so fresh in my head. I'm like, "How the hell would they win there?" But you never know. You never know. It's the Big 12, Eddie. Anything can happen.
Yep. Example: K-State upsetting Texas Tech last weekend, and then K-State going on the road to Austin and knocking off 23rd ranked Texas 66-65 there in the game on Tuesday night. And Mike McGurl, having him back off the bench, he has been big the last two games. Scored 13 against Texas, and I believe went double digits again against Tech as well. So McGurl's been out with being part of the COVID-19 protocol. He's been big the last two games. Not having him against OU in West Virginia. No, he was. I think he played OU. I can't remember, but I know he missed the West Virginia game. So they missed him there as well. So having him in this productivity, Super C, you get in this kind of point production, 26 minutes a night, 13 points. You get this kind of stat line from him. Yeah, you're going to be in a lot of ball games. And Mark Schmidt, how big has he been in conference play since the Big 12 season has been? He was a madman. I just, again, watched the highlights of Tuesday night's game there where Mark Schmidt was letting the crowd have it there. Mark Schmidt, 33 points, 33 minutes, 22 points. Let's see, 8 rebounds and an assist for him. He has been enormous so far. Pack, you know what you get from him. We've been diving in over and over about him. 16 points there. You don't know what you get from Marquise Noel. He's kind of the wild card in all this. He struggled from the field the other night, 1-7, 0-2 downtown, 4 points. Got a lot of foul trouble, but he's that energizer bunny. He ain't afraid to do anything on that basketball court. So if you get production from him, and then of course you get your usual. K-State's going to be in this KU game, and yeah, you mentioned it. Over the past since I've been at K-State, the K-State KU game in Manhattan, yeah, it's going to be close game. And it's funny because every time they're in Lawrence, it's not a close game. It's a blowout. So
it's been
like that now for I don't know how many years now since I've been up in since I've been up in Manhattan, Kansas. But yeah, if anything, K-State has an opportunity to take KU down to the wire. Obviously, KU coming off of a big win for them against OU the other night. 67-64, where Colin Ron hit a big three there to take the lead in that game late there. And it seems like, Alex, we've been calling these names out for a long-ass time when it comes to KU, like Abaji, David McCormack, Mitch Lightfoot. We've been saying them names forever, it seems like.
Yes.
When it comes to basketball, obviously, Coach Bill Self on that team. And then you have Jabari Wilson, who scored 16 against OU. Bron, 15. Abaji, 10 points as well. So you know what you're going to get from KU, obviously. Those guys would maybe play maybe big. Obviously, Mitch Lightfoot has been a nightmare, seems like, for K-State the last several years.
Andy, I don't know how Mitch Lightfoot's still in college.
Yeah, I don't know how he's still on his basketball team. He or McCormack, to be totally honest.
I know. Or Abaji, you mentioned. Feels like Abaji was there when I was there. He was, but man, I feel like he's been there forever too.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, all those guys, see, they've been there for a long, long time, producing for Bill Self for a long time there. And obviously, KU coming into Manhattan Saturday afternoon, 3:00 Central Time, a little bit after that, on the Big 12 Now Network on ESPN Plus. Another promo, shameless promo there.
It's
not going to be on ESPN2 or ESPN. It's going to be on.
I know, exactly.
That's weird. That's weird.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, that's weird. Given the fact that K-State has made this this matchup a whole lot interesting, even though it already is between these two schools. Definitely when it comes to basketball. So, yeah, you also brought up a good point about the crowd. And we have been hammering the crowd situation for the last several weeks in the podcast now. Yeah, I just don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. Usually when it comes to K-State, KU, here in Bramlage Coliseum, you're going to get at least, you hope, at least 75% of that building filled. It hasn't been all the way up to the field filled up since I was in school. So that's going to be a key question mark there. And this little small run here that K-State's on, knocking off two ranked opponents here, definitely with the students kind of back now and everything else, definitely intriguing. I actually expect that student section to be filled. And hopefully you get a little bit more from your normal people, folks out there, K-State Nation. You're in Manhattan, by the way. If you had got nothing to do Saturday afternoon, go to Bramlage, support the men's team, like you did the women's team last night. That was a good crowd last night.
Yes, we got a great crowd.
Great crowd last night. I've been saying that all along, basically promoting, hey, we got a good women's basketball program. Why are we not showing out and supporting them? And great turnout. I know it's a Sunflower showing out for the women, but awesome turnout. They've been turning out for the women's games. Now it's the men's turn. So we got two wins against ranked opponents. So now, can we show up for the men's game? And this is KU we're talking about. So I know for a fact students will be out there. I know right now, as we're recording this podcast, it's 7 degrees outside of Manhattan, Kansas right now. It'll be a little bit warmer Saturday. So, but still, you ain't got no snow like you did what we did with last week. Weekend here, you got no snow, so no excuses. Go out, support your Cats here as we try to make it 3 consecutive wins in a row against a ranked opponent. And how, if we somehow get this, yeah, we're definitely back in the conversation.
Yeah, and I'm going to go on a crowd rant, and then I'm going to get into some basketball analysis. First of the crowd, I'm not going to hate on him knock Wendy Gaines. I'm just thinking back, Eddie, it is so different. I know I've said this before on the podcast. I'm sorry. I'm probably repeating myself. I know I'm repeating myself. But it is just so different from when you and I were there. Like, for KU, I had to get out to the arena, like, 4 or 5 hours before the game to get in line and just to even get a spot remotely close to where I wanted to sit in the student section. I mean, it was just wildly different. Just wildly different. And it wasn't even like that just for the KU game. I mean, if there were big games against another Big 12 school, you could run into a similar thing. But, like, I remember, you know, if it's an 8 p.m. game, it felt like they were always 8 p.m. games. Always an 8 p.m. game, Eddie. On Big Monday. On like Tuesday night. There's like always a week night at 8 p.m. Like every single year I was there. And we have to get in line at like 3. And you're missing class. And people are camped out. Or not camped out, that's not a thing. But people got like their lawn chairs and they're like rotating. And like you've got the line thing going. And you go into Bram, which calls you back. The student section is full all the way to the tunnel before the gates are even open for anywhere else in the arena. And it was just different. It was a different, it must have been a different time. I don't know what it was. It was the same for football as well. Remember the Auburn game. If you didn't show up to that game, if you showed up an hour, anywhere less than an hour before kickoff, good luck getting to see the student section. It was the same thing against Texas in 2012. It's just different. It's just a different, but I'm not going to go on that rant. Moral of the story is KU's in town. Fill the damn arena. Like, your team's just won 2 games in a row against top 25 teams, okay? You got KU coming to town on a Saturday afternoon. Students are back. There are no excuses. None. You can't pull the card that we could have pulled. Well, it's Monday night at 8 p.m. Or, it's Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Like, no. It's Saturday at 3, okay? Like, that is a prime time to get to Bramlage Coliseum and to get in there to watch. I mean, K-State today, they put out a promo on Twitter, the men's basketball account, about former players talking, and players that you and I watched, Eddie, that we went and watched play KU. Wesley Wundu, Thomas Gibson, guys like that who we saw go shoulder to shoulder, blow for blow with KU every single year in Bramlage in the Packed House, talking about that environment and how it's just the toughest place to play in the Big 12, especially in those KU games. And Eddie, I'm sure you can attest to it like I can. That building shaked during KU game when I was there. I mean, that thing shook. Even when K-State sucked, Eddie. Even when Marcus, the year that I complained about, my senior year, which you were gone by then, but my senior year, when Marcus Foster, the whole Marcus Foster and Javon Thomas, that whole team went down the toilet, and they went to Big 12, and they were horrible. Even the arena was packed, so that game had shaken in case they pulled off the upset. I mean, I'm telling you, man, that was a tough place to play. Get it in there, you know, get people in there, pack that place, and make it tough for KU. Make Brennan Green throw a basketball in the student section again because he gets so mad like he did when we were there. Make them mad. Frustrate them. Don't abuse them. But, like, you get my point. Like, get in there. Be loud. I mean, make that, you know, make that building shake. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a great environment. So, anyway, now that I've moved off of that, I'm going to get into the actual game. You mentioned Mitch Lightfoot. Guys like Mitch Lightfoot have been killing K-State for as long as I can remember.
Yep.
So I think you're right. When you look at K-State and the front court, look, Mitch Lightfoot, what, he's only averaging like 5.5 points a game. But when you look at the front court and guys that KU's got, you know, they've also completely blanking on his name now. And I've got to look it up, but they're really guard heavy. You know, they're guard heavy with Remy Martin. There we go. They're guard heavy with guys like Remy Martin. They obviously got a Bocci at guard. You know, Christian Braun is a 3-point, three-point specialist. We saw that against Oklahoma this week. Coleman Lance, who used to be at Iowa State. I mean, very, very guard heavy team, but still a guy like Mitch Lightfoot down low. You know, he can
be annoying.
Sneak up on you. He'll sneak up on you, like guys like that do every year against K-State, and find a way to get you. Eddie, this shouldn't happen this year. You have got... Damian Bradford, Casey Eziegu, and Carl Lingard, who, say what you want about Carl Lingard, he's gotten some playing time, and I think we're all, I think K-State's better for it. I think it gives him more depth. The fact that he's gotten in there, he's gotten his feet wet, and I think he's built some confidence. So, look, K-State's got some bigs, and they just need to play big. Go in there and play big. They've been way too passive, way too soft on the in the front court. And I hate calling players soft, and I'm not calling them soft. K-State doesn't have soft players, but they have been too soft. They've been too tentative. That's been the biggest problem with David Bradford this year. How many bunnies has he missed at the layup?
Oh, boy.
How many times has he not gone up strong enough at the rim and he gets blocked? Or he doesn't get all the way up or finish the dunk or finish the play? Or finish the block that he's trying to make on defense? Plays that we saw him make last year. You've got to be stronger around the rim. You have got to be tougher down low. And you've got to win that matchup, because that is a spot anywhere I think K-State could have an advantage. Because KU is a guard-heavy team. They've got life, but they got a bunch of guards that can kill you. And if you can get an advantage down low, and you can find an advantage and exploit it, that's what you got to do against KU. You've got to find that area that you can exploit, and you've got to take advantage of it, because it is tough to find spots on the court where you might have an advantage over KU. So I think that those bigs need to be big and not let a guy like Mitch Lightfoot have a big game in a game that he doesn't have any business going off in. When it comes to the guards, Eddie, I think we saw Selton Miguel. Look, we saw him do what he does defensively against Texas, especially at the end when I mentioned Marcus Carr got fired. And in case they threw Selton Miguel on him, he slowed him down. He shut him down, and he had a damn good defensive possession on that last play of the game against Carr, where Carr got off of a look, but Selton was in his face. He didn't foul him and was able to, able to disrupt that play enough where the shot was missed. So, you know, I think defensively, that's going to be huge. You know, K-State's got one of the better defensive teams in the country when it comes to defending the three-point line. You've got to do that again. You've got to have good three-point defense. Selton Miguel has to be that sticky defender. That's going to be in the pocket of those KU guards, whoever he's guarding. And look, you know, another guy I'll rave about is Marquise Noel. We talk a lot about him. One thing he does a good job about is he gives K-State extra possessions by being aggressive, active and aggressive on defense and forcing steals. Mm-hmm. He had 7 steals in that TCU game that we talked about. You've got to force some extra possessions against KU. You've got to give yourself a few extra opportunities to get buckets. Now, once Marquise Noel gets a steal, the key for K-State is to take advantage of the possession and not just throw it away by trying to push something down the court and end up with a bad possession. But if you can get extra possessions against a team like KU, those are the types of things that you can do to give yourself a chance. If you don't give yourself extra possessions, Eddie, if you can't play strong down low, if you can't be sticky on defense against those guards that they have, it's going to be really tough to get a win. So the good news is I think this is a good defensive team. I think they will be pretty sticky there on D. I expect Selton Miguel to play real good defense on whoever he's on. Everybody knows what I think about his defense. I think he's one of the best defenders in the Big 12. And then you look at, like I said, you got guys like Marquise Noel who have really surprised me with their defense. But every once in a while, we see K-State have those breakdowns on D, and someone gets an open shot that has no business getting an open shot, and you've got to limit those defensive breakdowns. So, and then the final thing, Eddie, is they got to move the ball. You've got to move the ball side to side. You've got to keep that KU defense moving. If you get too stagnant on offense, K-State's going to have trouble scoring the basketball. They just are. You've got to move the basketball, and you can't just be standing around waiting for the shot clock to go down and then take a contested shot. Once again, that's not going to be KU. That's not a good recipe to do it. But I do think that it kind of starts with the front court and making sure you don't get hurt there. And then secondly, try to get some extra possessions, because KU, they average over 81 points a game. That's not K-State's game, Eddie. K-State doesn't score 81 points a game. That's not what they do.
Hell no.
That is not what they do. So you've got to take possessions away from KU and give yourself more possessions. Try to bring that score down And give yourselves the best chance to keep up.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
That's another good point Alex Wright did just brought up here, and we are previewing the KU game, ranked 7th in the country, coming into Brandon's on Saturday afternoon here on the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. This is episode 83 of the podcast, 83 with Alex Aiden. Both of us, K-State alum, went to K-State at the same time, but graduated in different years. But yeah, kind of quick two points, and then we'll switch it to the K-State women's side. Yeah, you brought up a good point about scoring. Yeah, KU obviously loves to score high, 80 plus points, and K-State definitely is going to have to play K-State basketball, play ugly to win this game. We have seen it over and over and over. K-State probably averages less than, 60 to 70 points a game, around there.
Yeah, K-State averages 66 points a game.
Yeah, they scored 65 against Texas with 66 with a 1-point win, and then if I go back a game,
they averaged 68 points per game, 297th in the country.
So you cannot let KU have open shots, especially from three. Yeah, you can't let them have that. You gotta play, and again, it goes back to saying you're in Bramlage playing in front of this. If they fill up Bramlage somehow, there's a hope they hope you're a K-State fan or K-State student listening to this podcast, you should be doing that. You should make that environment a lot tougher so KU can feel that wrath on Saturday afternoon. But yeah, K-State defensively, yeah, you gotta play your game. Sal Miguel is gonna be important. Also got a thing too, already said, mentioned two players that I'm going to go off to the end of the spectrum here a little bit. Here, already talked about Mike McCurl, the importance of having him coming off the bench. He's back in his role now, and he has played very well in the last two games. I think he's going to play a big part in the game on Saturday. And another one, you talked about the bigs, Mitch Lightfoot killing us and whatnot, and David McCormack and those bigs. Another one to keep your eyes on here, folks, K-State Nation. Ishmael should. I think 14 minutes. He played 14 minutes against Texas. Only scored 4 points. But he can light it up from 3 years.
He needs to rebound better, Eddie. I just say that he needs to. When you are that tall, and if K-State's going to go with a small lineup, Ishmael Sood has got to get better at rebounding. Period. Too many possessions K-State has given up because Ishmael Sood cannot rebound the basketball, especially when K-State goes into some small lineups, which I'm glad you bring that up, Ed. Wow, let me try that again. I am glad that you bring that up, Eddie, because K-State may need to go small to match KU at certain points in this game. We'll see. If they do, and Ishmael Sood is playing down low, that could be a disadvantage for K-State, because when K-State was without their bigs against Texas at home, Ishmael Sood was one of their biggest guys, especially when Carlton Lingard got into foul trouble. Ishmael Sood had zero rebounds in that game. He has got to get better at rebounding. He's got the potential. He's only a sophomore. And you mentioned it, Eddie. He can score, and he can go off, and hopefully he can go off against KU, but he has got to do better jump rebound at the basketball. And KU would be a great game for him to get a little more physical and to get some of those rebounds, especially if they do have to go with some smaller lineups. Because you know it. You know this as well as I do, Eddie. K-State bigs just seem to always get in foul trouble when they play against KU.
Yeah. I was kind of waiting on a follow-up there. But, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, they always play well against excuse me about that. I was waiting for him to kind of finish, but he was already finished.
Andy, I cut you off, too, so I'm sorry. That was something that has been bugging me, the fact that he's not rebounding the ball. Rebound the ball!
Yeah, he's going to have to do a better job than that on Saturday. I think he's going to have If he's going to have a say in this K-State-KU rivalry game on the basketball court, yeah, he's going to have to do a lot better than that as well. Yeah, you said a big thing about the crowd. Yeah, my first time tasting this rivalry, I was in the booth. I think I was calling was color back when Jamar Samuels was still was he when Jamar Samuels was a senior and is playing his final game, the K-State-KU rivalry game, his final game in this rivalry. He went on a run. I think like a 6-0 run or something. He made like 3 baskets in a row, and that place was jumping. I have never been in quite the environment like that ever. And that was just, the, you could feel that the place literally shaking beneath your feet. It is one of those things that we kind of been missing really the last couple of years. So yeah,
I'll never forget, Eddie, the game. I remember all four KU games that I went to very vividly, but I'll never forget the overtime thriller against KU when KU had on that team they had Wiggins and Embiid. I believe that was the team with Wiggins and Embiid.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm trying to remember if Embiid was the year before or if they were on the same team. I can't remember exactly. I know Wiggins was on the team. Can't remember if Embiid was on that team or not, or if he was the year before. I know I saw Embiid in person as well. But either way, the overtime game where K-State had Gibb, Shane Southwell, Marcus Foster was a freshman, Wes was a freshman, Zach Crew was a freshman, and that was a good team. I think they were an 8 seed that year. An NCAA tournament, or 8 or 9 seed. They lost to Kentucky. But anyway, that game was just crazy. K-State wins that game in overtime, and the crowd was popping because K-State was playing well. They just came off of a huge blowout against Texas. They beat Texas by like 30 2 days before. Marcus Foster went off. I mean, he had an insane game against Texas. K-State had a really good record. KU was top 5, I believe. And, that game went to overtime. K-State blew a lead. They did blow a lead. And KU came storming back, and it went to overtime, and then they win that game in overtime. That's just one I'll never forget because that building when Sandstorm was playing during that game, oh, my goodness gracious, you couldn't think straight. That was the one that I'll remember. But I was there for the Jamar Samuels one, too, that you mentioned, Eddie. His last game was my freshman year. And that place was rocking. That place was rocking when Jamar kind of went on a run there. I remember it. And I remember that game. K-State lost that game by 4. And then the next year was the year that they won the Big 12 championship. And they lost that game by 6.
Yep.
But then they turned around. They won the overtime game by 9. And then they won that my senior year, as I mentioned, the year that K-State sucks. They won that game by, it was 5 or 7. So, kind of gets back to the point, Eddie, that close games, it's a great environment, close games, and even when they've stunk these last couple years, the games have been close in Bramlage. I believe the game in Bramlage last year was relatively close, if I recall. I know it was close the year before when K-State sucked. And then K-State beat them in a close game when they won the Big 12 the year prior to that. So, I mean, you never know, Eddie. I mean, you never know. I think it'll be a close game, but you're right. The crowd, if they could show up and get that place rocking, you can make memories. You can make memories.
Yep, and who would we miss before we finally transition into the women's real quick here, as we're almost in an hour into this episode here. Who can we miss? I'm talking about memory, the party, John McMill, to put KU to sleep there. So that's one of my favorite memories about the rivalry, at least here in Bramlage. Carney, Jada, Windmill, I believe that was the year K-State went to win the Big 12 conference title.
Yep.
I wasn't there in person, but seeing on TV, you can just feel it, the energy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that place is about to explode.
Yes. indeed. Oh, man. K-State men come off with two great wins, looking for a third Saturday afternoon on the Big 12, now ESPN Plus Network, against the Kansas Jayhawks. KU sitting on top of coverage right now. K-State is an interesting scene. Hopefully, on Saturday afternoon, this is the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 83. Eddie, you're out. Saying now, kind of switch over quickly to some women's basketball. After recording this on Thursday night, of course, K-State ladies played last night in their Sunflower Showdown matchup there. Already talked, recorded a kind of recap, which will go out tomorrow morning. Sometime there, K-State back on the winning track there, 69-61 over KU. K-State, Jeff Mitty's team now, 14-4 on the year, 4-2 in the conference, now moves one game back now after Iowa State lost last night. So now K-State welcomes number 14th ranked OU into town Sunday afternoon tip. It is scheduled to be a little bit after 1 p.m. Central Time in Rams Coliseum. Rams Coliseum could be rocking as a whole for the weekend. You got the men's team going up against KU now. And then the following day afternoon, you got 14th ranked Oklahoma coming into your building as well, where K-State has been absolutely tough against ranked opponents as a whole this year. Alex, quickly, your thoughts on last night's game there with K-State. How important was that for the ladies to get back on track?
Enormous, Eddie. Enormous for them to get that game against KU. Because that game against Texas Tech couldn't have been any uglier.
Yeah.
My gosh, that we finally saw them kind of show what they showed last year. We kind of saw for the first time, like, last year's Cats, or a little glimpse of last year's Cats in that game against Texas Tech. They were not good. They did not respond the way that I hoped that they would respond. And that was my fear. Is that they would do what they did. Coming off of that emotional game against Iowa State, where you know you're leading both the game, you should get the win, and they bank the three and win it. You make some mistakes late. That's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. And you know, K-State clearly. I'm not going to say K-State didn't handle it well, but whatever they did not translate onto the court Saturday, because they lost by 19, and that game was never close. So, and that was also against a Texas Tech team, Eddie, that is 2-4 in conference play, 9-8 overall. K-State is a better basketball team, so. That was not encouraging to see that. Now, they haven't had a game like that this year. So, okay, you know, everyone's going to have a clunker. Comes the territory. How do you bounce back from that? I was a little concerned, Eddie, because if they didn't get the KU game, they couldn't bounce back against them. Four of their next six games are against ranked opponents. Oklahoma's 14, Texas is 15, Iowa State's 7, Baylor is also 15. Baylor and Texas are actually tied for 15, so you've got four top 15 games. Four of your next six are top 15 opponents. That's not easy, Eddie. That's not easy, and three of them are on the road. That's really not easy. So I was like, boy, I mean, they have got to beat KU. And so, and the thing is, we talked about this last week on the podcast, Eddie. KU's improved this year. They're 11-4 on the season, 2-3 in conference play. Usually they're kind of hanging at the bottom. And who knows, maybe they'll end up there by the end of the year. But they've had a good year. And so I thought it was going to be a tough game for K-State. They came out, they answered the bell, and they really took care of this game wire to wire, and they really created some separation, a lot of separation there early in the fourth quarter. Now, they did let KU get back into it when they probably shouldn't have. They probably should have been able to hold KU off a little bit better than they did, but you know what? They were able to go on a run at the end of the game, pull away, win by 8, and get a win that they absolutely needed. tell you how big that was for Eddie. Just huge. And now they've got, as I mean, you mentioned, number 14 Oklahoma. After that, you've got number 15 Texas. I have got to tell you what, ESPN has been incredibly annoying tonight on their website. So for some reason, the schedule's not loading back up. Here it is. There we go. So yes, I was right. You got to Oklahoma, and then you got to go to Texas. So I mean, you've got two top 15 teams these next two games. And so let's see what they do, Eddie. Can they pull an upset, another one, get another top 15 win, and kind of answer the bell there before they go to Texas, who just whipped Iowa State by 18 points. It's a good Texas team. So, look, K-State's got their work cut out for them still, but boy, oh my gosh, Eddie, did they need that KU game. They needed that game so bad. And how about Aokele? Once again, 25 points, 50% from the field, 5 of 6 from the line, hitting her free throws. She bounces back, has another big game for herself. She obviously did not have a very good game in Texas Tech because, I mean, Eddie, she only had 12 points and 8 rebounds. I mean, what a horrible game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What a horrible game. What a horrible game for her. But no, for her standards, that is probably one of her lower stat lines. So bounces back, 25 points, 15 rebounds. 15 rebounds, that's really impressive. And so she got back to being Aoka Lee, who's averaging, that's right, everybody, she's averaging a double-double, averaging 24 points and 11 rebounds on the season. Just wild stuff. And so, we'll see what they do, Eddie. But she's kind of back to form. Seems like the K-State women's team is back to form. And if you look, we've talked about this, Eddie. They've got to find a way to get some balance. Some balance on that team and kind of across the court. And Sundell has 15. Glenn has 10. Mackey has 9 coming off the bench, and that's exactly what they've got to do to just kind of complement Aoka late. And if you can get the other ones, the other players chipping in, throwing in double digits here, throwing in double digits there, and you can have, 4 players practically at double digits, including Aoka Lee, K-State's going to win those nights. So I think that's one of the most encouraging things, is that, K-State's offense finally got going outside of Aoka Lee, and that's got to continue for them to keep the success going.
Yeah, exactly. So to kind of cap off the K-State women's basketball games here to end the month of January, obviously we've already touched on you coming into town on Sunday next week. You go on the road to play Texas, who right now is 15th in the country. And then you end the month of January with the home game against TCU. So I'm going to stop it right there. So it's a good opportunity for Japanese team to add possibly maybe 1 or 2 more wins there to add to that resume. It doesn't hurt to add. You can continue to add in that resume. Not only that, we'd be remiss to talk K-State right there in the thick of trying to get themselves right in the conversation for a chance, for the opportunity to contend for a Big 12 title as
yep.
well. So I mentioned they're one back. Iowa State and Oklahoma right now sit dead at the top of the right now. Then who's next in line? K-State women right there, one game back. You beat OU Sunday, you're going to be in sole position in a second. And depending on what Iowa State does, I don't know who Iowa State is playing over the weekend, but you take care of your own business on Sunday, you're putting yourself, once again, in good position. So I like where Jeff Mini's team is at. Aoka Lee is going to do Aoka Lee things. You know what you're going to get from her. We've said this over and over on the podcast, but the wild card is the young core that Jeff Mini brought in this year, which I've been so impressed. Riley, Jalen Glenn, the Glenn sisters, Serena Sundell, the point, and Emily Ebert came back last night. well, and then you got your role players off the bench who have, you don't know what you're going to get from them. Like Laura Mackey last night scored 9 points. One of those girls usually has a big night, whether it's Mackey, Dollinger, Simone Goodrich, Jada Moore, Taylor Lauterbach. I just named off the whole bench right there.
Yep.
So one of those players, you don't know what you're going to get. You could get, you can get Mackey a big game, or a different night you can have Rebecca Dollinger can have a big impact of the game. So you got comments right there off the bench as well. So that's always helpful for a, as well as K-State, a talented team as K-State women are this year. You're going to need that balanced scoring because you didn't get it against Texas Tech. I said that on the recap show podcast Monday that was the worst loss of the year, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
That was just ugly. That really is ugly hit there. That was what I was afraid of, too, was how they respond after that heartbreak to Iowa State. Not good. So, and then, speaking of last year's team, I don't think last year's team, I spoke about this on the upcoming daily, coming out tomorrow morning, but I don't think last year's team beats KU. Because KU made a run, especially in the fourth quarter.
100%.
In the fourth quarter of that game, KU ties it with 3, and then the two teams trade baskets. And that's when KU stayed there, toughened up, and got some stops there late. Trading baskets, and then K-State's D stepped up there, and then, of course, they hit their free throws. But, yeah, I don't think definitely K-State's last year's team they break against KU.
they do, because K-State blew a big lead.
That's a step in the right direction. That is a step in the right direction that we wanted to see from this women's basketball team. And I'm interested to see take it one step at a time here. 14th ranked Sooners coming, Lady Sooners coming to play, and we'll see
you again. I can tell you who Iowa State plays. They play Baylor on the road.
Ooh.
So they could be going down. But here's the deal. Here's the caveat, Eddie. After that Baylor game, Iowa State does not play a game against a ranked opponent for a month. So they could have some wins coming after that Baylor game. So if you're a K-State fan, be cheering for Baylor coming up against Iowa State.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, all eyes will be on the women on Sunday, while the men have a huge game test ahead of them coming up on Saturday afternoon. The Purple Project Podcast here, beginning slowly to close things out on episode 83 of the podcast. Eddie Beard, Alex Eden here. I had the weekend list right here, which I'm going over quickly here since we cover all things K-State beginning Friday, which actually is tomorrow, actually, I should say. The track and field team, they're going to have two meets. Both of these are different. So tomorrow, track and field team will be hosting, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but I'm going to roll with it. The Austria women's pentathlon will be going on tomorrow morning at Ahern, and then a different separate meet, which is a two-day meet for the track and field team. The men's and women's team will be hosting the Lost Gods Invitational as well tomorrow and Saturday as well. And the Austria meet will be start at 10 a.m. and it will just focus on women's pentathlon only. And then an hour later, the Lost Gods Invitational at Ahern will take place. So two different meets at the same day tomorrow at Ahern. And then the Day Lost Gods will continue through Saturday late afternoon, probably finishing up before, by the way, the KU basketball game at Bramlett. So if you're a K-State junkie, K-State super fan, Saturday could be a big day for you. So definitely, you're around town, definitely check out some track and field action there. And then later on, go get your spot, like Alex talked about, for that KU game. Which
right.
It's going to be a big game. It's going to be a big game, no question. Then continuing on that path, Saturday morning, the tennis team begins their season a little bit. They're going to be going to actually they're going to be hosting South Dakota Saturday morning. So a lot going on campus Saturday there. And then later on, and this is going to be going on during the KU game, to more tennis action as Missouri State. So a doubleheader for a tennis team as they get going a little bit. Obviously, this will be indoors. Or outside, I'm not sure. I think it's going to be indoors. I'm pretty sure about that. Missouri State, so tennis team begins their action in 2022. South Dakota and Missouri State come to Manhattan. So an action-packed Saturday for you guys, K-State Nation, on campus. And, of course, Sunday, it all ends with the 14th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners and the K-State ladies team there inside Ramblers. So lot to look forward to on that spectrum, folks, Alex.
Yep. Look, Eddie, it's going to be busy. It's that time of the year, Eddie. What is it? We're in, like January. It feels like feels like you just got a bunch of stuff, stuff going on. And here we go. There's events lined up. Show up. Get ready. Be loud. Be proud. And, it should be an exciting weekend of K-State sports. And yeah, I thought I heard you talked about this on one of the dailies too. I'm excited to get into it. But we're gonna be throwing another sport into the hat pretty soon. And that'll be K-State baseball.
Yep.
And we'll see, Eddie. We'll see if they can build off of what they did last year. I just wanted to bring that up because I heard you mention that on a daily. And that's another sport that we'll have, we'll be throwing in the hat. We'll be covering here. It just I heard your daily on that. I know that wasn't just like yesterday's daily, but
nope.
I heard your daily on it. And I was thinking back on last year, and it's going to be a really interesting season for them because they missed the tournament barely, and they were wildly erotic last year. They were super hot in certain stretches. They were super cold in other stretches. They were amazing at home. They were horrible on the road. They made it to the Big 12 championship game, and then they even beat TCU, who they played in the championship. But then they ended up getting like, they hit like the 10 run rule where the game didn't even go 9 innings because K-State got down 10 and less than 7 innings in or whatever it was, the Big 12 championship. So their season was just crazy last year, but really interesting to see what they do on top of that. But we'll be throwing that sport on top. So you're going to have you're going to have basketball. You're going to have baseball right around the corner. You mentioned you got track and field. There is a lot going on. As we also mentioned, football news trickling in too. Spring ball is going to be right around the corner, believe it or not. Spring ball is right around the corner. I mean, and we're getting close to the end of January. I mean, spring ball is just a couple months away. Yeah. Get ready because it's just going to keep picking up.
Yep. And kind of to top this all off before we wrap up the podcast. Baseball. Yep. Less than pretty much a month away, a month out, because K-State will open up at the new ballpark for the Texas Rangers play at. They're going to be open up against some pretty good stiff competition begin the 2022 campaign. February 18th, folks, K-State will open up their baseball season down at the new ballpark for the Texas Rangers. I think it's like Golden Globe something. Can't remember. Arizona will be the first opponent. Then Michigan on Saturday, February 19th.
Oh, man.
And then on Sunday, you got Auburn. Holy moly,
what a way to begin the season. Yeah, you're playing at an MLB ballpark against those three schools to kick your season off.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah, well, that's the way to get your team ready, though. But, yeah, three heavy hitters right off the bat.
Coach Pete knows what he's doing.
So Arizona, that's going to be some scene. Get away from this cold weather, go down to Texas, play some good baseball, and you're going to have a test right off the bat. So we'll see
what happens.
That
will be good for everybody.
Yeah.
Be good for
oh, yeah. Yeah. They are, Yeah, they usually start the season the last couple of years or the state of California.
They do.
But this year, they changed it up a little, spiced things up a little bit. They're going down to Texas first, then California. So take on California, Bakersfield. Yeah, that's the team right there. I have some of their schedule pulled up here. So, yeah, they're going to have their hands full. But, yeah, it's going to get them ready for the conference play, which we all know is going to be tough. Seems to be a common thread when it comes to K-State and the Big 12 with competition. Yep. You know that, so.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that it was that is exactly a common thread, and it's going to be good for them. You mentioned that you go down to some warm air down south and kind of winter's rolling around, and you're right, they can play some good baseball, some good weather, and kind of get clicking, and then they can come back to Gold Bennett and then see if they can win some games up there. But that's going to be a great way for them to kick the season off, and also that's going to be a great opportunity for them to play three really good schools. To play in an environment like that, play on a major league ballpark to open your season. You know, it doesn't get much better. You know, it really doesn't get much better than that. So that's going to be a great opportunity for them. I don't know how many wins they're going to get. I don't know about that part, but it will be a good opportunity for them. I think it'll definitely benefit them going forward.
That's right. We're approaching the end of this podcast, episode 83. Got Sandstorm playing in the background there before we sign this thing off. Obviously, Chiefs moving on into the division round after taking care of the Pittsburgh Steelers last weekend. They're going to be taking on a rematch of the AFC Championship game last year at Arrowhead when these two teams collide on Sunday night back at Arrowhead. The Buffalo Bills, Alex, come to town once again to go to KC Chiefs. What you got on that game?
Now, you can't see my face right now, so my face is a face of, if I can make a sound to go with my face, it'd probably be like that would be the probably the sound to go with the face. Andy, I don't know. I'm not sure what way this game's going to go. I think these are the two best teams in the AFC. I really do. I do think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. I've said that all season. I do believe that. But the Bills are on fire. We all saw what they did against the Patriots. And I think we all know how motivated they are coming into this. They have been waiting a year at a fourth this opportunity.
Yeah.
It is tough. It is tough when you're a team like the Chiefs and you've got a team like the Bills who are just sitting there like, oh, I've been waiting a year for this game to just take our shot. Like, that is tough for a team like the Chiefs who are in this spot every single year. You're trying to continue. I've mentioned this before. You're trying to, like, keep that momentum and maintain that momentum when you've been there every year, and you've got to just continue to just kind of, you know, for the Chiefs, it's just another game, and to other teams, it's just not. And it can be difficult at times mastering that intensity. You're in the playoffs, and you're obviously going to have that intensity, but there can be that added edge, and the Bills sure as hell have that. So I think that the Bills are going to come out and play really well, because I think that they are motivated as hell. And for the Chiefs, they're going to have to play an A game to win. I do think that if the Chiefs play an A game, the Bills play their A game. I think the Chiefs' A game surpasses the Bills' A game. I shouldn't say the problem. The thing is, I do think the Bills are going to bring their A game or B-plus game. And if they do that, that means the Chiefs are going to need to bring their A or B-plus game, or they won't win. So I thought against the Steelers, they brought a B game, but I don't think what they did against the Steelers will beat the Bills.
Especially not in that first quarter.
No. You can't not score in your first five possessions and turn the ball over twice and expect to beat Buffalo. I mean, you're not going to do it. So what the Chiefs did after that was amazing. They caught fire. No one in the NFL can do what the Chiefs did. No one can score five touchdowns in 11 minutes of football time. That's insane. That is incredible. Who the hell does that, Eddie? I don't know who does that. So no one can match that, but you can't put yourself in a position where you've got to bank on doing that. You cannot do that get up early. That's no reason to sound the alarm bells. The Bills got up 9-0 last year, and the Chiefs ended up winning by 14. But they're going to have to play really well. They're going to have to play really well to beat the Bills. And if they can beat them, they'll go back to the AFC Championship, and I think they'll be in a good position to potentially make it back to the third straight Super Bowl. But this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough one, Eddie. I think it's a coin flip, to be 100% honest with you. And I'm not quite sure what way that coin's going to land. But it will be a great game, I think. I think it'll be a great game. I think it's the best game. I think it's the best game slated on the playoff. On kind of the playoff of all the playoff games this weekend. So it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. The other AFC matchup there is the Bengals going to go to the number one seed, Tennessee Titans. That will be interesting. That game is there. NFC has the Rams and Bucks. And the other flip side, the 49ers and the Packers. That is the second most interesting game for me, in my opinion. 49ers, Packers, the 49ers, that crazy finish with the Cowboys. I'm not even going down that road because I don't have enough time to do that. That's a way longer podcast.
I think you and I called it. Didn't we call it? I thought we called it that we thought we'd like the 49ers that game. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they did that somewhere else. But I thought you and I talked about how we liked the 49ers in that game.
Yeah, we said last week that we both thought that was going to be an intriguing game for the 49ers going to going to Dallas to win that game.
Yep.
And nobody, not even the nation, predicted it in that finish. Let's just put that
there. You didn't like the QB draw on the 14-second flop, Eddie?
No, I did not. I still don't like it. I still don't like it. It's Thursday night. It's almost Friday morning, but it's Thursday night, and I still don't like the call. Why even a quarterback sneak it? No timeouts. You know you have no timeouts. QB sneak Dak up the middle and take that risk like that. I don't understand that.
Everything has to go right for that play to work. Do you really want to put yourself in a position where everything has to go right to get another playoff? No! I'd rather throw a vertical route, run a vertical route where everyone runs verticals and at 40-yard line than do it at the 25-yard line. Like, and then just hope we get there. Like, weird. I don't know. I get it. I get it if there's like 20 seconds. If there's like 20 seconds on the clock, okay, I get it. That makes more sense to me. 14? Ooh, I don't know. That's cutting it close, Eddie. You have to have everything go right for that to work.
Yeah,
and not everything went right, and they didn't get a snap off.
Yeah, well, they cut it too close, and they didn't get enough playoffs. So that's that with that.
But how dare that ref, Eddie? How dare that ref bump that?
Well, there was an interesting point there on the referee there from somebody.
I'm being sarcastic, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah.
that can be a whole different podcast in itself there. But yeah, they're not going. They still haven't. That's amazing that all that talent that Dallas brings in year out, they haven't even gotten still to the NFC Championship game since like the 99 or something like that. All that talent they bring in, even with the quarterback, Dak Prescott was $75 million or something like that. One of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL still can't get to the NFC title game.
Even with that defense, that revamped defense, and they still didn't win a playoff game. But they kept saying it was the defense. Oh, it's our defense, we're loaded on offense, which they are loaded on offense. But then they put up, what, 13, 16, 16 points? I get it. The 49ers are a bad matchup, Eddie. They are a bad, bad matchup. I agree with you. That is a very intriguing game, them going up in Green Bay, because I don't think Green Bay matches up very well with them. But still, I don't know. CeeDee Lamb had one catch in the game?
Yeah, he had like one catch. Yeah, he had one catch in the game, I think.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm with you. Look, Dallas is going to have to figure something out. There's too much talent in that roster to be kind of dinking around the way they've dinked around. Look, that's what they do, man.
They choke. They get in the playoffs and they choke it away. That's what Dallas does now. Get in the playoffs, all this hype about Super Bowl, year in, year out, and you get in the playoffs and you choke it all away. So
every year
for them.
Every year, you're right. No, Dallas is going to make the run. Dallas never makes a run. Why do people think Dallas is going to make a run? I don't understand it. It's just the name. It's because of the name and the logo on their helmet.
I hate the call. I hate the call. I'm gonna stand by it. That's it.
Who knows, Eddie? Maybe it was Dan Quinn. Maybe Dan Quinn had a little saying in that call coming in. You never know. It wasn't Dan Quinn.
It was Dan Quinn this time.
If Dan Quinn called that play and the Falcons in a playoff game, they didn't get a snap off. I don't think you would have been very happy with Dan Quinn.
My meter would have been rose up even more. So, yeah. But Dan Quinn, he did a good job, though.
He
rallied back. Yeah. I give him kudos.
His defense has been really good.
Yeah. He was the reason that defense was so much improved, obviously. But,
yep.
Dallas just shot themselves in the foot, and that's why they're going to be sitting at home watching the playoffs again.
And Dan Quinn's going to get to be a coach somewhere else and draw
everything. Most likely. All right. K-State Nation / Chief Nation. The Purple Project Podcast episode 83 is in the books. Another good one in the books. Eddie Greer, Alex Hayden. Go Cats. I'm going to let Alex close us out and send us into the weekend.
K-State Nation, we mentioned it to you. Pack Bramlage. Pack the Bram doesn't work. But
yep.
Build the Bram. Pack the Bram. Whatever you want to say it, you do it, and show up, K-State KU. Go Cats. We will talk to you next week, hopefully, breaking down a K-State victory over KU. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.